friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Well, happy Thursday, this February the 5th, 2015. Fred, how you doing? My name is Joey Kroll. Welcome to another edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. And can you believe it? The groundhog saw his shadow, which means 6 more weeks of winter, which, you know what, any of us could have just stepped outside and I could have told you that myself. Hey, I pray that you're doing well today. So good to see you and spend some time with you. Hey, how are you enjoying Founders Week all this week on Great News Radio? I pray it's a blessing to you and your family. And in fact, tonight, in the midst of Founders Week, in the midst of all your activities going on this evening at 8 p.m., the Singing Men, they're going to be singing the National Anthem right before the U of I women's basketball game tonight at the State Farm Center. Parking free and tickets, I believe, are about $5. So you can enjoy a great evening of hearing the Singing Men of GNN and enjoy a great game of basketball. And hopefully, Fighting Illini can win tonight. That's what we're hoping for. But yeah, join us for that. The Singing Men singing again the National Anthem this evening, 8 p.m., right before the U of I women's basketball game at the State Farm Center. And I also encourage you, if you've missed Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, Mark, of course, has been continuing his study on the Alpha Course, which kind of covers the basics of Christianity. Monday and Tuesday, he talked about why did Jesus die? And I'll tell you what, friend, this was a vital program, both Monday and Tuesday. So if you missed it, or if you know somebody maybe questioning or maybe exploring or open to the things of God, I encourage you to direct them to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and just click on archives and listen to Monday and Tuesday's program, the second and the third, on why did Jesus die? I think you'll be blessed by that. Well, our little Hannah, our youngest, who's 8 years old, actually going to be turning 9 here in a few days, and she's so excited about that. In fact, we're going to have a birthday party. We're going to have some cupcakes and a nice little party with family with her this weekend, and she's just so excited. And you know what? That just makes me think about, you know, when I was younger and how I really looked forward to birthdays, and this is my special day. It's about me, and that motivates me to really make her feel special and loved and really celebrate who God made her to be. So, yeah, we're going to be having a nice little birthday party for our little Hannah, who's going to be turning 9. Praise the Lord, going on 17. So that's what we have planned this week. And hey, coming up in a few moments, we're going to be talking about when sickness comes to stay. You know what? God is able, God is strong enough, and he is still in the healing business today, but sometimes he decides to manifest his power in a different way than we had hoped. So today we're going to be talking about when sickness comes to stay from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 12. That's coming up here in a few moments, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
So my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire and my home to you.
You know, anyone who struggles with long-term health issues will come to this question sooner or later. If God can heal me, why doesn't he? I'll tell you what, friends, some of the most profound teaching and insight on this issue came from the pen of the Apostle Paul. He was a man well acquainted with pain and suffering throughout his life. He understood. And today, we're going to be taking a look at when sickness comes to stay. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to take a look at a couple of different passages in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and again in 2 Corinthians 12. So 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to look at 16 through 18. It says, "Therefore we do not lose hearts, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Praise the Lord. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And then turn over to a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 7 to 10. It says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, earlier in 2 Corinthians 4, we didn't read this, Paul described his current situation with words like pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, and given over to death. Even though Paul's outward circumstances were extremely hard, he used very different words and phrases to describe his inward attitude. He says, "But I'm not crushed, not in despair, not abandoned, and not destroyed." So what enabled Paul to have that type of attitude? The verses we just read in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 show us the answer. In spite of his earthly difficulties, Paul maintained an eternal perspective. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day." And I'll tell you what, such a viewpoint is rare in our culture, and should I say also in our church today. Today, a person's hope, happiness, and even identity are typically tied to his or her physical health or circumstances. Because Paul had an eternal perspective, however, he was able to be strong and joyful when most people would feel weak and depressed. See, just imagine, kind of go into the neighborhood of make-believe with me, okay? Imagine a set of scales. On one side of the scale, Paul gathered up his suffering and trials. On the other side was the eternal glory that would be his when he reached heaven with Jesus. Paul concluded that the coming eternal glory was far heavier, far greater than the sufferings of his earthly life. And praise the Lord, friend, the same is true for us today. When compared to the eternal glory that has been promised to us, believers, people who've called upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the sufferings of this life are momentarily. Did you hear that today? The sufferings of this life are momentary. You know, that is so easy for me, which health is going well for us and so forth. So easy for me to say on this side of the fence. But at the end of the day, that's a biblical statement. That's what the Word of God says. They're just brief and fleeting. See, pain has a way, friend, of rocking our world in a good way. They can help us shift our focus. We realize we're not mortal and we won't be here forever. In fact, James 4:14 says that our physical life is a mist that appears for just a little while and then vanishes. Life gets tough, though, friend, don't it? Life gets tough. My mom, her health is not doing well. She's been dealing with cancer for several years now and in remission and back again, in remission, back again. It gets difficult. But praise God for the child of God. This world is not our home. When life gets hard, even unbearable, the Lord encourages us to remember that we're not home yet. We're not home yet, friend. In 2 Corinthians 12, we see one very specific example from Paul's life about his own journey with suffering. We read that Paul's request for relief and deliverance from his thorn in my flesh, he says. Bible scholars have tried to interpret as what exactly was Paul's thorn in the flesh. No one can say with certainty what it was, but it was likely some kind of physical affliction. And Paul repeatedly petitioned God to remove his affliction. Repeatedly, however, God's answer was no. And as far as we know, God gave no explanation for refusing Paul. We don't see this here in the text whatsoever. And that's an important lesson for you and me today. In God's no is the gentle challenge to trust me. Trust me. Even though when we don't understand his plan, we can still trust his character. You know, there's a song that came out several years ago, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. While God didn't remove the thorn that was oppressing Paul, he did make two promises, though, to his servant. God's ever-present grace would be sufficient. Praise the Lord. God didn't remove the thorn, but he did promise Paul he would provide everything the apostle needed to live with. And this reminds me of the psalmist's words in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. So he promised his ever-present grace would be sufficient, and he also said that he would demonstrate his power in Paul's weakness. Anybody here today have some severe weaknesses? I know I do. Insecurities, all of that stuff. Sometimes the light of God's power shines most brightly against the dark backdrop of our suffering. You know what? Some of the hardest prayers, some of the most spiritual prayers that I ever prayed, so to speak, was when I was on my knees in pain, in suffering, going through a trial, going through something or another. So God's ever-present grace would be sufficient. And he also promised that he would demonstrate his power in Paul's weakness. See, Paul didn't just endure his trials and survive his suffering. He found the supernatural strength to boast and delight in his suffering and weakness. Now, I don't understand why, or I don't fully understand why, but God has determined to do some of his most significant work through sickness, pain, and trial. As mentioned before, my best prayers, my hardest prayers, my most spiritual prayers, the most I've ever been closest to him is when I'm in my knees in suffering, in pain, in trial, in sickness. It could be that what the world really needs to see far more than a miracle or healing are people who find joy and peace and trust in God, even in the midst of their suffering. Ronnie Bowers, a South American missionary, wrote the following just a few weeks before being killed in a plane crash. Ronnie says, God often chooses to do something different with your life than you envisioned. But it's okay. He's still God. And he still loves you. As long as your confidence in God remains strong in the midst of all of the questions and the myriad of emotions, you will be okay. He is the only one who remains constant, and life is good if you stay in his arms, God's loving arms. You may not understand where he leads, but you will be safe and secure with him anywhere, even in death. So does God still heal? Yes. But God doesn't always choose the heal in the way we want him to. God delivers us in many different ways. Like sometimes God delivers us out of our pain and suffering. Sometimes he delivers us out of that. This can happen through supernatural intervention. God is still in the healing business, and he sometimes demonstrates his great power through healing. Sometimes God delivers us through the pain and suffering. This is how God worked in Paul's life. God doesn't always take away the sickness, but he can give us the grace to endure it. And in the process, he shapes us deeply and manifests his glory so that others see joy and steadfastness and Jesus in us as we endure. And sometimes God delivers us unto himself. You know, one of the psalmists wrote, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants." Psalm 116:15. You know, we get so fixated sometimes on this life that we forget the beautiful reality of heaven, the life that awaits us. But at the end of the day, we need to remember that our Heavenly Father is good. Can I get an amen? He is good, he is wise, and he is in control. He can be trusted. We can trust God. In the midst of all the fogginess and in the midst of all of the questions, we can trust him. Sometimes illness and disease don't just go away. Thankfully, the presence and grace of God don't go away either. Praise the Lord. Choose to be an avenue of God's grace for someone else today. this song really nails it, don't it? If you can't see his hand, friend, just trust his heart. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Trust in him today, friend. Well, I do thank you so much for your time and your attention today. I always enjoy hearing from you. You can email me anytime. My email address is joey@greatnewsradio.org, J-O-E-Y @greatnewsradio.org. Well, until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.